Aram, what was that?
Good news. I found a dragon.
No, you didn't. Dragons aren't real, Aram.
Oh, they are quite real, Dylan. And very clumsy.
All right, I'll play. Why did you bring a dragon here?
What better way to promote Kill Every Monster than with an actual dragon? We may need to pump up the Patreon just a little.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DMs notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster. Season 4, Does It Murder?
All right, hold on. I'm scrolling through our feed so I can find what was the first thing in the season. Okay, there's the mailbag. Go back. Okay. The first thing we talked about this season was owlbears.
Owlbears.
Owlbears, I think, could very fairly be played in either direction, right? Because, like, I think a bear in general, if it attacks you, is going to kill you. But, like, mechanically, yes, in D&D, you're going to hit death saves and be not a threat, and it'll leave.
Right.
Owls eat meat.
They do.
Like, and I think there's a point where the inherent viciousness that comes from the chimeric brain there, the fact that it's a bird attached to the bear, like, that's a thing in the monster manual, that they're extra aggressive because of the territorial element of the owl.
Sure.
I think it would gut and eat you if it was... if it was unthreatened.
Yes.
I don't think it's like, you know, a werewolf mid-combat drops a player and guts that player on the spot.
Right.
Or like a zombie where if someone goes down, it might just eat that guy because it's not actually thinking.
Sure,
right?
But it's still not murdering you. You came into its territory. Now it feels threatened, so it's responding.
That is still a murder. It's a murder which you wouldn't be punished for on the grounds of self-defense or a stand your ground law.
The United States law would have an argument with you, Dylan.
No. So what the United States law says, and this is an interpretation that all of our lawyer fucking
the owlbear is just standing its ground, Dylan.
Yes. What I'm saying is, and again, lawyers, feel free to let me know if my understanding of this is incorrect. Those are defenses against the guilt of murder, not saying that you didn't do it.
It's
that you
fair.
Can't be held responsible for the fact that you did.
Right.
No one is leaving the court after a stand your ground case and going, well, I guess that guy didn't shoot that other guy.
It's right.
That
it's
guy
not...
shot that other guy.
Right.
Fair enough.
This isn't called does it legally murder.
Even if it was legally, it's still a murder.
Yeah, it's still a murder.
The question is not, would the owlbear be convicted by a court of law for the fact that it mauled your character to death on the ground?
Right. So it's more willing to engage in a fight. But again, we've talked about does it murder before, as in, like, does the owlbear want to murder? Does it want to kill people?
No, but that's sort of the thing that I'm getting at is, like, I think it would kill your character again.
Yes.
But I think the condition for it, because it is an animal, right? Yeah. Because it doesn't want to kill you. It isn't looking to murder you. The condition for it would be basically already a party wipe.
Right.
Everyone's unconscious. It's unthreatened. It might just fucking eat whoever looks the tastiest.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the barbarian. Great intersection between meat and access.
Yes.
Fighter's got plate mail. Might be the similar amount of meat, but I got to get into it.
Nah, right. Pass. Every monster's definitely going to eat the monk and the barbarian first, because the other ones are just too much work.
For the monk.
Yeah?
I think a monk could very easily... Like, that's very sinewy, right?
That's true.
Like, that's... The type of meat on the bones is going to change drastically.
That's fair. Who are you eating last? The paladin, right?
Wizard.
Oh, the wizard, right. Because it's both bad meat and, you know, maybe they have a bunch of robes
on.
You're
just like, especially like from the perspective of like the owl bear, like that thing shot lightning out of its hands. I don't want to put my mouth on it.
That's fair.
That seems dangerous. That seems
that's
like it's
fair.
You know
that
what?
Lightning, as far as I know, came out of its body. There might be more in there.
Walking around in blue starry robes. You know what's shiny in nature? Poisonous shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kill that and leave that corpse there.
Yep. And paladins would probably have like bright red sashes on, which could be read as poison because they would be arrogant with their gods being proclaimed. Plus, you got to crack the shell.
Yeah, exactly. That's tedious. Yeah. Metal's hard. No, right, I think you could make a reasonable case for, like, we have the argument about, again, whether or not it's strictly murder, because, again, it's an animal. But I do think there's a distinct chance that if an owlbear pulls off a party wipe, you're probably going to lose a PC, but only one, because it's an animal. It's going to eat and be full.
All right. So kind of, we're going to say kind of in the middle.
Will it kill you? Yes. Is it murder? Legally, no.
Okay. All right, fair. I'll accept that. Next up, Beholder. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just for fun. Just to see what would happen. And then it'll bring you back to life and kill you again.
Because it gets so many like ray attacks, there's a good chance that it'll just take you down on the spot. Like you've dropped, disintegrate again just for shits.
Yep.
Like
maybe if they have control, just take off an arm, have you watch it as it falls to dust as it's torturing you for information and then going to kill you anyway.
Yeah, like they are specifically ruthless.
Yes, a beholder will not just murder you, it'll find and murder your entire bloodline.
Depending. I mean, I think that is specific to the owl or to the beholder's particular
or how crazy
genre of whatever their particular obsession is, because they could very well be like, it's murder by you got in my way, not, and then it's a question of how much did you get in my way. Did you get in my way enough for me to feel like you and now everyone related to you are a threat to my plans? Or am I just sufficiently angry in the way that...
Did you belittle me to the point where I'll come for you? Yeah.
Or did you get in my way versus did you actually stop something important to me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm about to complete my ritual and then you show up and now I have to finish my ritual later today, or I was going to finish my ritual, you interrupted me during the eclipse is over and now it'll be a century before I can try this again.
Yes. And so now I have a century to enact my vengeance.
In that entire century, I'm going to make sure that you, your entire bloodline, and anyone that shares your name, your first name, not your family name, every Jonathan on the planet.
Yes.
Gone.
That would be great. Like, what did I do? You had the unfortunate nature of being named Jonathan. I beams.
Jonathan ruined my plan. Which Jonathan?
All of them. Every Jonathan.
It's not even a discussion. Like I said, it one of the other considerations I like to go to is the, like, in combat, like, how long does it take for them to kill you, right? Like I said, zombie drops a character and immediately starts eating. The owlbear maybe waits until the end of the combat, and if it's hungry, it'll eat somebody. A beholder will burn an I-beam on just taking out a couple of your death saves.
Oh, like, 100%.
It'll continue fighting the party while murdering you.
Yeah, it'll do the James Bond thing where, like, the disintegration I-beam is slowly cutting through the floor and making its way towards you. Yeah. No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. And then just...
In a room full of PCs going, what is that even? Who is Mr.? I don't understand the reference.
But I could see that, though. I could see, like, a beholder slowly, threateningly getting ready to murder just so the other PCs have to watch and they can't do anything about it. A beholder would absolutely do that.
Yeah. It's... We talked about this, I think, a little bit during the Beholder episode. It sort of depends on how you run your Beholders, because I've always read it, especially with the aspect of, like, you roll the dice to determine which I-beam is going off.
Yeah.
That, like, the Beholders are unstable. When they go into combat, they just start firing.
Yeah,
like, they're a disco ball of doom.
Yep.
And they're not doing anything, like, with strategy or particular consciousness.
Boy, once you're down and they have control over the situation.
Yeah. Or if you just disagree with me and you run your beholders different, like, fucking, that's fine.
Yeah. I do like the disco ball of death, though.
Yeah. Where it's like, we're getting into a combat and they just shriek, and then suddenly there are lasers going everywhere.
Yeah, you know, like, if you're trying to hold four things at once, you sometimes forget about one thing and just drop it. Try controlling 10 eye stalks and your main eye and flying around at the same time.
Sometimes they just shoot lasers and I
didn't
mean to.
Sometimes they just go off.
Oops. No, Beholder absolutely murders and potentially takes it as an opportunity to go do more murders afterwards.
100%.
Next up is the Kuo-Toa.
Yeah.
So the Kuo-Toa, I think the way they're written in the game is, I mean, I think we touched on this a little bit, can very easily get anti-Indigenous, which makes me immediately go like, oh, they're the sort of people that drop the party and go like, oh, well, we're going to do sacrifices later. Keep that in mind if you're ever going to do that. That is playing into a fucking really ugly trope.
Yep, and it's a trap we've fallen into before with other monsters.
But beyond that, I mean, you have your standard deal, right? They're people.
Yeah.
They're attached to their imagined gods. Yeah. So, like, sort of depends.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to delve that back because, like, you could look at them and say, well, they're all crazy, but also the crazy things that they do become
are
real.
Right.
So, what? Yeah, they're correct.
No, it's again, a very good, like, eldritch horror monster to have in your back pocket in that, like, like you said, what's the nature of being crazy if the crazy things you believe become true by dint of your belief?
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're not
Who's
wrong.
The sane one, really?
I mean, still you, right? Like, they're generating it. Like, there was an initial point where you just made something up. So, like, you're the crazy one. But also, now we have to adapt to your crazy because you got, like, 16 guys on side and now there's a new god. Whoops.
They're just ChatGPT. They're just walking around stealing other people's ideas and then inventing monstrosities. No, you think they're creating whole cloth?
They're specifically, like, there's a lot of, there's some talk in the monster manual that they're isolationists.
Oh, right.
They're off on their own. They can't be stealing other people's ideas. Whose idea are they stealing?
Right.
They're straight up just out there. They're a random number generator.
Oh, that's a good analogy. I like
it's just
that a
like,
lot.
They're doing a natural selection to reality.
Right.
Where, like, if there is an idea that feels good enough, it'll catch on. Literally, like, I don't know if you know this, the word meme is from the idea of mimetic behavior is supposed to be like a gene, but for concepts.
Oh.
So the reason we use a meme to refer to something that catches on like that is because natural selection, if a gene is strong, it will be propagated. If you have an idea, a bit, a, you know, rough concept that has legs, it will catch on and be propagated and iterated upon. And just like genes, a meme evolves.
Oh, right? That's so clever. What a good name for that.
That was Richard Dawkins, who, it turns out, he's a piece of shit, but said smart
sometimes
things sometimes.
Shitty people have good ideas.
Yeah, I just gotta, you know.
That's why our show works.
You give credit where it's due, and you also point out that maybe people shouldn't run around giving a whole bunch of credit to people who suck.
No, that's fair.
But anyway, that is what the Kuoto are, right? Is just a little soup
generator.
Yeah, no. They are a primordial soup for memes in the, you know, Dawkins sense and not in the fucking Spider-Man's pointing at each other sense.
Right. But they could probably make that happen too.
I mean, that is sort of what Hollywood's devolved into at this point, is they just start seeing memes and they're like, what if we made that real?
Yeah. Memes got them to release Morbius twice in theaters. Fucking bombed both times.
God, you gotta start understanding irony at some point. But no, the Kuotoa largely aren't gonna do murders without purpose. They're people.
Yeah, they're just people.
What that purpose is, who knows? Honestly, gives you a really cool opportunity as a DM to have them just like, again, same sort of situation of doing a party wipe, looking over the party person by person, just stabilizing. Don't get them back up, but just like, they're not going to die. Getting to one person, looking at them. Come here. A little huddle. Stab them to death like 40 times. The entire group just huddles around and murks the rogue. All right. Stabilize the paladin. Just keep going.
Yeah. And not even explain themselves. No. Just this was the idea they had in the moment.
Ideally, if you're going to do that particularly well, like if that isn't the sort of game you're running, I would run the sort of game where I might just do that because I think it's going to be funny. And if the players are on board with that kind of thing, right? Very much a session zero or sort of conversation. Just hates
the rogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Largely, don't randomly kill your players, obviously.
Don't.
But
yes, unless it's funny.
If it's very funny and you know the player will get on board with it. I've had a couple of games where someone has gotten, you know, yay far into the game and gone, I want to play something different. And you're just like, how do we get around this? Well, the Kuotoa heard from the voices of their god that the rogue was bad. So they stabbed him to death. Would you like to build your new character now?
Yeah. Or that the rogue had essence in them that had to come out.
And that's the other thing, right? You can do that kind of shit and then later in the game reveal what the thinking was, what the where the method was in the madness is just like, oh, no. We could see that if they survived, then they would interact with this part of a prophecy and we couldn't have that.
Yeah. So it could be as simple as that. And the Kuotoa could have been completely right.
Yeah.
Yep. Which, like, and if they weren't, the prophecy was invented and then immediately stopped by them.
Which means it was true.
Yes.
We prevented it.
Yeah. It only existed for the few seconds it took us to pull out our blades, but it was real.
Which is, again, great stuff if you are interrogating them later and you like, God, what's the word? You zone of truth them.
Yeah.
And you're just like putting together like, oh God.
They believe
that's how they work.
Yep. Yep.
That's good shit.
That is good shit. I do like the Kuotoa a lot, but
they're
you're
really
right.
Cool.
They're not going to murder unless they have reason, just like people.
And what that reason is just might get a little bit more esoteric than usual.
Yep. Unlike the next monster, Displacer Beast. Next. Yes, absolutely. Murder, murder, murder all day long. Couldn't be happier to murder. If they go a day without murdering, it's a bad day.
And it's one of the, like, we've talked about this before, like, some of the monsters, the monster manual is just being racist or playing on, like, really boring tropes. I really do like the idea that if the Feywild is the land of dreams and stories, then the things that come out of it are what we tell stories about.
Yeah.
And a dark, scary cat that you can't quite look at right, that hides in the dark and hunts you and will kill you, that's the thing we've been afraid of since we invented fire.
100%.
Before we invented fire.
Yep. And frankly, not too far from a real cat.
No. That's tigers. That's lions. They just do that shit. Usually because they're cats. Real hungry. But
yeah, house cats. If they were bigger, they would kill us.
Sometimes. Some.
Not all of them. No. But a good number.
Yeah.
You give them tentacles and the ability to like and not be seen and holy crap.
Suddenly just immediate murders everywhere.
Look at the size of the hair balls. But no, but they love killing. There's a whole breed of other magical fey creatures just to stop them from killing.
Yeah. God, what was the name of the book? I'm trying to see if I can remember what Neil brought up, because he brought up that one book, like the origin of the displacer beasts.
Yeah.
Like, it was the coral or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point was,
And listen to the episode, listeners, and tell us what we're trying to think of.
Tweet it at me. I'm not on Twitter anymore. So just tweet it at the
blue sky at us.
Don't do that. I don't want to see it. I don't really care. I'm not going to read the book. I just wanted to be able to reference it accurately. So go tweet it at me. But no, that was the entire point of that story, was unimpeded, the displacer beast hunted an entire planet to extinction.
Yep.
We had to invent a new species to stop them from killing things, because they want to kill that bad.
You had to send the spider after the fly, otherwise they were just going to take over everything.
Displacer beast murders hard.
Yep. Easy.
Next on the list is Jin.
Yeah. Jinny
do not do murders inherently. Again, it's people, and it comes back to the same thing of, like, the moment you have them become brutal, like, that is one of the very Islamophobic Orientalist tropes that the four types of genie we're given are built upon.
Yep.
It's just like the moment you look at the Ifrit and you're like, oh no, these are brutal warmongers. Like, that's, you think that because it's an inbuilt racism.
Yep, please, that's all it is. That. Yeah. They're just people. In fact, honestly, they have less reason to murder than anyone because they're deal makers. They don't want to murder. They want to get something out of you. They want to trick you into working against your own interests. That's what gets off a djinn. They like to play with the people.
An evil genie, certainly, but even like most genies,
they're just people.
Not even just people. They are more powerful than people.
Right.
Right? Like, why would I kill you? What am I gaining out of this?
Right. They're like little baby gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, would be a very cool way to be, like, because they're elemental, playing off of that idea that that Nuradin brought up, like, that they are the thing that was here before people.
Right.
They are shadow and fire incarnate, or shadow and wind and shadow and earth and whatever you want to do.
They can make wishes because they can reach into the primordial essence of what came before.
Like, I don't need to kill you. I was here before you. You can't kill me in any way that means something.
Right. So, you were born from dust. You will return to dust. I will remain.
I am a fire without light, and you cannot snuff me.
Yes. Yep. So why would I even bother murdering you? How beneath me?
Yeah. And again, that's like, these are also a people. That whole explanation works really well for egomaniac evil djinn, but they might just as easily be like, why would I kill you?
Yeah.
That's,
what's the point?
Rude.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
You came at me with a knife, so I beat the shit out of you, but like, that's all I needed.
That was unfortunate, but now we can have tea. Yeah. 100%.
Even that is like a very D&D response. It's like, turn it into a bar fight of like, somebody comes at you, smashes, like swings at you with a beer bottle. You move and punch him in the head. They're on the ground. They're like, oh God, don't kill me. It's like, what do you mean don't kill me? You came at me with a bottle. Like, fucking.
Right. Yeah. I handle the situation.
If you're good, we're good. Like, do not come near me ever again. I'll even buy you a whiskey. We are not friends. But like.
Oh, I've bought whiskeys for enemies many times. I've been in a gay bar, bought a whiskey for a guy I don't like, just to make that interaction go a little bit easier.
Fair.
All right, so djinn, no, they don't murder.
No.
Does the dragon turtle murder?
The dragon turtle, I'm very on the fence with, because dragons at large, yes.
Okay.
The dragon turtle, as written, is a dragon with a shell, right?
Yes.
Like, it's,
but very territorial.
Incredibly territorial. It would kill you to be rid of you, right? Like, you came in here.
But it'll also sink your ship just to get the gold in the hole.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it'll kill you as
Right. It'll kill you as collateral, but not necessarily murder you. Like, once you're down, as long as it's, if you don't, like, if there's, there's gold in your body.
Where I think this gets complicated is, as you mentioned, is like collateral to the action, but like it'll kill you because you're in the way, right? Like,
right.
It won't go out of its way to murder you, but it sank your ship and now you're going to drown.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that it will kill you. It's that it's an incredibly dangerous thing to be near.
It will sink your ship because you've got gold in the hull. But once that gold has fallen to the floor of the lake or sea or whatever they're in, it's not going to go around and knock you off your little planks of wood.
Right.
You know?
No, I think, again, depending on how you're playing it, like finding the captain who didn't give you the gold outright, maybe just eating that guy to make a point.
To make a point, yep.
But like, it's not just going to do absolute murders everywhere.
Yeah. It's not what it's there for.
No. No. I think it's pretty likely to do a murder, but it'll be a conscious murder for a reason. It's not just going to, you know, execute the party.
Yep. Agreed.
What do we got next?
Drow.
The drow. I mean, again, people.
People.
Like, I mean, again, as written, they're slavers.
Right.
They would kidnap people.
Yep.
I don't think they would, again, but like, why would we murder you?
And also, there's not been a single D&D table I've been at where we just don't write slavery out of the game entirely, because who the fuck wants to engage in that?
No.
And there's no way to do it with drows without it being hideously racist.
Right.
Especially again, just the worst,
simply
and the
saying
worst
it
kind.
Because in the book,
yeah,
right, as written, they wouldn't kill you. They would kidnap the party.
In the book, as written, white people made dark-skinned people the slavers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it's written in the book, which is why you shouldn't fucking touch that with a 10-foot pole. But sure, if they are a race of people that condones slavery, that is their general like reaction to things. They go to the surface, they take what they want, they force you to work in the mines or in their mushroom fields or whatever. Bad, but they're not doing murders.
Yeah. Like I said, as written, there's that. But again, like even once you drop that, like why would they kill you?
Right. You're much more valuable alive.
Oh, even if you're not valuable alive, it's just like, why are you valuable dead?
Right. Why would I go out of my way? Unless it's to send a message, unless it's to prove a point, which sure, great. But again, they're not just murdering you because they want to.
Yeah. Vardian, get in. Close the door.
Sure. Hey, Dylan, you've been busy up here.
Yeah, this is what work looks like. I've been trying to figure out a solution on the monster ecology problem. I need a couple of sigils in the right spots.
Dylan, are you sure about this?
I wasn't entirely convinced magic existed until last week, Aram. I'm not certain about anything.
I assume this is one of those things you weren't quite sure about?
I mean, I could probably get better materials for this if we had more funding.
Well, for $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they are released. For $5, you'll get those ad-free episodes early, along with audio DM notes featuring Dylan and I recapping what went into producing each one.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes, along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels also get a personalized shout out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we've got left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 Patreon tiers are available with 7-day trials for new subscribers, so head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want a free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
Like, There's no cause for it.
They're just people. They're literally just people.
Mm-hmm. Again, I brought it up simply because, like, written in the book, but just don't put slavery in your games. Don't ever kidnap your party and be like, oh, and now you work in the, now you have to escape. That's not a fun fucking game.
Nope. If you want to put them in jail, great. They've probably done something to deserve it, but don't do slavery in your games ever. Yep. There's no reason. It's never going to fix a game. If you are people who want to tell a story about slavery where it is an almost educational, informative thing that pulls from history, and you are people that have been impacted by this at some point, maybe. And even then, I'd be like, watch your ass. But otherwise, there's just no reason for it.
Hmm.
Yep. Speaking of people, big people.
Yeah, giants. Probably.
You think they would just to murder?
So the thing is, it depends on scale.
Right.
Because, like, a hill giant would, because they're usually evil, right?
Right.
Again, going to as written, they are, again, weirdly ableist sort of gross things, but, like, that's how they're written, is they are going to kill whoever because they need to.
Correct.
Just because that's how their writing is. Once you hit up to, like, fire giants, it's like, if you found a mouse in your house...
Right.
Like,
once you can be crushed underfoot, are they really thinking about you as a person?
Right.
Right.
Like, I think maybe storm giants would.
Yep.
But again, like, because it's really funny because a friend of mine and I were talking about this. He had a mouse in his house, managed to catch it. And like, it had been injured by the cat and he felt horrible because it was going to die. And he's like, I don't know what to do with this. And like, I grew up in the county where it's like you find a mouse in your house and you're like, oh, that's unfortunate because it's really cute, but we got to kill this now because if I put it outside, it's going to come back inside. And that's just
how that
works. It's
going to come right back inside. Yep. I had a mouse in my basement and I got one of those little catch traps and I caught him and I was like, hey, buddy. And I walked a good half mile and let him go. And 2 days later, he was right back in the house.
Yep.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter because if it's a house mouse, if you get him outside, he's going to die outside anyway. They're not meant to be outside. So there's really, you're not helping here.
No. You've just hit nature. And that's the thing is on this sort of scale of like the giants as an ancient species who know more than us, who have magic that isn't even, it's a different form of magic. They are fully disconnected from us.
Yep.
I could very easily see quite a few giants just killing outright because whatever.
Yeah, but even if it's that, and even if a giant is just stepping on you because you're a bug, is that murder?
That's again like matter of perspective, right?
Yeah.
From the perspective of the giant, it isn't.
Right.
They're not really the important perspective when we're asking this from the perspective of the game Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. Or the person being murdered. Right. Yes, absolutely.
Because, I mean, to take your thinking sort of to the obnoxious extreme is if you just had two humans and I was like, no, Aram is so fucking tedious. That's barely even a human.
Right.
That doesn't count as a murder.
It's still murder.
It was really a favor.
Right. It was a mercy.
Listen, if I could still communicate with him, I'd tell him he was welcome.
Right.
I think the giants are still doing
it. It's a shame.
Push harder.
God. No, but you're right. It is still murder. Would they do it just to be dicks? Sure, but some of them wouldn't because, again, they're just big people.
Yeah. Like... could absolutely see a stone giant just going like, I don't know, I feel bad for them. They're just little guys.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to be there. They don't know any better.
There's definitely stone giants that think we're cute. 100%.
I don't know. I'm just going to walk it down to the bottom of the mountain. I'm just going to leave it. I'm pretty sure there's a dwarf town there. It'll be fine.
Hey, did you guys lose one of these? Just plunks you down.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not safe up there. You gotta be careful, little guys.
You're not built to hold the rocks like we are.
All right, you don't even eat gemstones. What are you doing?
Why do you even need those? Yeah, you're just going to wear them? That's a tasty necklace.
It's a real waste. You know, those are going to go bad in a couple of millennia.
Right. We think of rocks as like permanent, but they're like, no, that's going to lose its
ripeness.
There's
radioactive decay.
Yeah.
Slowly, that's going to turn into potassium.
All right, so giants, no.
No. A lich,
no.
Kind of definitionally, yes.
Lich, like, yes.
Again, yes. In the 5th edition rewrite, especially where they need to feed souls to their phylactery, if I just fucking souls sitting there,
yep.
Those are...
No, they are, those are worse going in the fridge. Than vampires. They're not just killing you, they are consuming your soul, and it sounds like over a period of time, it's slowly being eaten.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No, they're absolute murderers. They have planned, and they chose to be the lich. Unlike a vampire that just could be like, whoopsie, I was in the wrong town. Yeah. They decided this. They knew exactly what was going to happen because they had to do all the research about it to know this. So they knew down the line they absolutely were going to have to do this in order to continue being this terrible thing they set out on purpose to be. It is as clear as any. They will do a murder by design. They plan for it. They have no books about how much murder they're gonna have to do.
Yeah, I was going to push back, and then I was like, no, they had to research this. They literally have notes about the rate at which I have to make sacrifices to my phylactery to make sure that I stay alive.
They've done the numbers.
They've crunched it, and they're like, yeah, no, sorry. Actually, you know what? I'm going to hold on to the elf because that'll stay fresh long enough. I don't want to have to fucking... Like, the human, I can use one of those, but, like, by the time I need the second one, it's going to have gone off. You mean die? Yeah, whatever.
Right. Be less useful is what I meant.
Yeah. If you're going back to, like, the more traditional liches, like, you're... Where they might have had to do some murders to, like, generate the phylactery in the first place, but now the phylactery just exists. Well, now you've gone back to being a wizard. So
right, and I could easily see a lich saying, "Look, yes, three people had to die, but now forever I can cure cancer, and now I can, you know what I mean." So I can see
the point
is bargain,
like,
right?
They're doing this as like an ego thing. Like there is no humble lich.
No, no, no one who said this brain needs to exist for eternity is a humble person.
Like. You're right. They would have lived a long and fulfilling life. That's why I got a couple of 80-year-olds. Their souls were as good as any. They're basically done anyway. And in exchange for what? Combined their 15 remaining years? I get to solve the world's problems for how many untold centuries?
Yeah. You could even make that argument and say that it turned out to be a better thing. But with liches the way they're written now, which frankly I support because A... If I know you hate it when we do this, but you can't just make energy out of nothing. It's got to come from somewhere. And B, I just like the idea that there's a pact and a bargain you have to make forever. And the longer you're a lich, the darker that bargain has become.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that argument. I think because, again, like. The argument is not that Newton's laws or the laws of thermodynamics have to apply. It's it has to feel good.
Yeah.
What is keeping a lich running is a valid question. And I think forcing an answer to that is entirely within reason.
Right.
Now, it is magic. So if you told me that, no, the reason the phylactery has to be guarded is not necessarily because it just contains my soul, but my soul is part of a sort of reaction that generates a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah.
Like, well, the magic exists and you're a lich.
Now, pal.
Like, my soul is... No, I'm saying like the lich themselves. Like maybe you put your soul in a box and it's not just in the box. It's doing something.
Right.
Your soul generated your thoughts, turned base matter into a person.
Yeah.
It clearly is generating energy. So maybe what a lich is doing is actually just feeding off of the output of its own soul. It's why it withers and dies... Like you become the skeleton, because nothing is keeping you alive anymore. It's keeping you running.
Right. It nurtures nothing but the energy of your soul. Everything else withers
and
dies. So
you generate a perpetual motion machine that keeps your brain and your general function moving, but now you're not really alive anymore. Like the energy that kept you going for untold centuries was also the energy that kept you having skin, and it was really one or the other.
Yeah. And they'll sacrifice anything to be what they are because that's what a lich is.
Yeah.
And they will do a murder. 100%.
Yeah. Yep. I think it's possible to write a lich again on those grounds of like a soul-based perpetual motion machine where they wouldn't necessarily do a murder, where they've where they're just a weird egomaniac and the sacrifice was themselves, right? Rather than other people. But again, like,
what fun is that? And who's got
it comes to, well, I mean, what fun is it is having a old wizard who's like, no, it's self-sacrifice, right? Yeah, of course. Right. I can't you really be a NPC. Person anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting thing to play with, but it does very quickly raise the question of like, well, why aren't more of them doing this?
Right.
And that's why
aren't more billionaires philanthropists? I mean,
but different thing, right? Because like becoming a lich is for you.
Right.
Right. Like it also comes down to, you know, I think I'm important and I'm contributing to the world, but also it is just, I wanted to live forever because I think I'm important enough to do that. And I'm willing to give up my body.
Yeah.
As it kind of should be to be able to keep going forever. And maybe most people wouldn't make that decision. Maybe it's incredibly painful and they wouldn't go through it. Maybe it can just go horribly wrong. So it's a probability thing.
I mean, I'm only 50 years old and I've gotten a 180 on the do I want to live forever thing. No, I don't want to be disappointed in humanity in cycles over and over and over again. No, I don't want that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Anywho, you could make a lich, I think, that reasonably would not murder.
Sure.
But I think on the overall like probabilities of it, if you have a lich in your game,
it's gonna murder. It's,
yeah. We got the Oblex.
100%. Yes.
It consumes people.
Mm-hmm. And not just that, it plays with them and has fun doing it and makes little scenarios so it can murder better. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
This is the one that's almost like a ChatGPT where it's stealing souls not souls, but like your psionic energy. We might have had this conversation already, but I think if you're going to live in a magical world, you got to pick souls or psionic shit.
Right.
Like, how are those not the same thing?
Right.
Oh, no, it's not my soul. It's the magical energy in my brain that generates all my thoughts and feelings. Like, fuck you. That's the same thing.
It's the same thing. And also, you're right. It is a blobbish, amorphous thing that should not exist, that reaches tendrils out to snatch ideas that aren't there, sucks them into their body and stores them there so they can open them back up and read them whatever they want.
Yeah.
That is ChatGPT.
It's also, I would make the case that the Oblex itself probably isn't anything.
Right.
Like, it is the interaction of the data that it's acquired.
Right.
Right.
Which could be good or bad.
Yeah.
If it pulls in bad information and regurgitates it back out.
No. I think it's inherently bad because the base motivation is consume.
Right.
Right. Like, if you got a never ate anything Oblex just generated, like the whatever the first one was that a mind flayer was like, I found a gelatinous cube and I put it in a mold with some pineapple and a little bit of sour cream and it came out like this. A worse crime, honestly, than an Oblex. But when it comes out fresh, the thing it wants to do is kill and consume something for its mind because it sort of demands that energy. And then after that, it's kill and consume with these memories sort of layered on in a superficial way that it can imitate.
Yeah.
It's never going to, like, you might get it into that fun little sort of horror scenario of all of the voices in the Oblex don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And maybe they're powerful enough that the Oblex hates that it's doing this, but in the same sort of vein as a vampire, right? Like, do it or die.
Right.
The fact that you're still alive means that you're a monster.
And Oblex is never going to choose to sacrifice itself in order to stop, mm-hmm. no matter what thoughts go into it.
No.
It's just going to keep murdering.
Yeah. It's
a murder machine.
That's the point of it. It literally, when it's not acting in its own interests, it is a, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a harbinger of mind flayers. It's collecting people, if not for it to eat, for something else to eat.
Yep. It is a malevolent force, however you look at it.
Yeah. So it'll either murder you or it won't murder you because it's got to bring you back to its boss who will murder you.
Yes. It's either murdering you or refrigerating you. Either way, it will murder.
Like, am I going to finish this in the restaurant or am I going to finish this at home?
Yes, exactly.
It's going to wind up in the same place. All right.
And that takes us to Paritans, who, yes, will absolutely murder you.
Which, odd case, because they are inherently malicious. It's the Displacer Beast situation again, where you're like, it's not really doing a murder. It's just that it's eating the hearts of humans because it's sort of compelled to and is
kinda
inherently
hard
malicious.
To get that without the murder, but
yeah. It's a weird case.
It is weird because, like, just like the Displacer Beast, it loves to murder, but also it needs to murder in order to propagate.
Yeah, it's a food source, whereas, like, it's also a food source for the Displacer Beast, don't get me wrong.
It's a food source, right.
But it's a particular source of glee for the Displacer Beast.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything apparent about it, really.
They like to hurt people. It is described as being a vicious creature that enjoys the hunt. I mean,
yeah. Granted, it's one of those same sort of situations of, like, will it kill the... It'll kill the party. How will it do it, right? How many will it do? I guess if it's in that vein of, like, I'm trying to find the right heart to be able to lay an egg, maybe
it'll
just
keep
gonna pop from chest to chest until it gets a good...
But I think even if it got the last one, it might go kill the other one just to do it.
Well, that's the other question is, you know, does it know that it got the right one when it got the right one, or does it know that it got the right one when it's like, oh, I'm laying an egg now?
Right. It has to eat the heart to find out.
Like, you got to get the positive pregnancy tests. You can't just stop because you're like, well, we did it once. It's probably a baby now.
I just think it's going to eat all the hearts. It's going to rip up all the chests one by one, make you watch every single one without a care in the world, and have a good time doing it.
Yeah. I think it's just smart enough, and it's an animal, to where, like, I think it's going to actually, like, it'll kill the, take out the party first. Like, it's not going to drop everything to eat one person, but also it is smart and malicious and potentially hungry. So if the first person it drops is, again, say, a halfling rogue, it can fly with that.
Yep. And it's also smart enough to know that if it did stop murder the one right in front of the rest of the party, that it would frighten them.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying. So here's what my thought is now. It is non-trivial to get at a fucking heart.
Yeah.
It's like, not only that, but like.
So I got those teeth in the beak, which isn't a beak, it's a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now it's got to, like, get in there and, you know, get through the rib cage, right? That's the point of the rib cage. This is a multi-minute thing, which is now dozens of rounds.
Right.
So, like, it would scare the party to do that in front of them. I don't think it can.
It might not be able to, but maybe the party isn't that close. Maybe a couple of them are down and trying to heal. Maybe they're regrouping. Yeah. I could see
you
it
could
doing
do
it.
A predator type situation where you get one person away from the party and they're all doing the search thing. And then you come across just impaled on a branch.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what a paradin would do. Just like those horrible evil birds that will impale their kill on a tree branch and then save it there as, like, you know, for later.
Yeah, sure. I'll pretend I know what you're talking about.
I'll send you a link.
Don't
They're
send
murderous
me.
Little birds.
Why would you send me a link to the thing that's impaling corpses on branches? I'm good. I believe you. I just don't know what you're talking about.
I could see a paradin, like, snatching one, flying it up, impaling it there, leaving there, then going back for the rest. Not even killing the thing, letting it suffer and hang there so it can take care of it later, so the heart's still fresh.
I could see a paradin killing a killing one of them, eating the heart, like having separated from the group. And then the party sees two shadows of people on the ground. One of them starts getting bigger, and the corpse of the rogue lands in the center of the camp. Yes, I picked the rogue again. Everyone who plays a rogue knows why.
Yeah, you have it coming.
Sorry, it's yep. who you are.
It's who you are as a person. So, Paradin, check.
Yeah.
Absolutely murder.
100%. Like, that's the point of them.
We got a lot of murders this time. This we is do. A high percentage of murders.
We got another one. Because the Treant is the season finale.
Treant. No.
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 Maybe.
Maybe, again, like maybe a person will murder you, but will a Treant go out of its way to murder someone? See, no.
These are an interesting case, because, like, this is something we didn't talk about in the DM's notes or the episode. It didn't really occur to me. But the point of a Treant is it's usually brought about as sort of a protector of nature. And mm-hmm. the thing about, like, we always say, oh, it's a protector of nature, and it sounds like a good, and like, nature's fucked up. Nature does a lot of murders, okay? Like, yes, nature is not your friend. Nature's a bad place to be. Stop camping.
Don't stop camping. There's a lot of death. And if you look at it like, well, a potential source of fertilizer, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. You know,
circle of life.
Right. Circle of life. But that's not murder. That's just someone had to die in order for something else to live.
Again, we're making kind of legal arguments here.
Well, I don't think a tree is going to go in and murder for no reason.
Sure. It's not going to go and kill for no reason. But generally speaking, if a party is in conflict with a Treant, is probably in conflict for a reason that is valid to that Treant.
Yes.
And suddenly its view on life is wildly different, right? It's something that lives for hundreds of years. So seeing a person die, it's something that lives in nature. So seeing something die to become food, it is something that exists specifically because the spirit of the forest itself was like, I am in danger. These things with fire and swords keep coming in here and killing us, and we need to stop them. Would it potentially smash the entire party into bone meal and scatter their remains throughout the forest to make sure that everyone else grows up healthy and strong?
Absolutely.
Probably.
Absolutely it would. But would it always do that? Would it seek to murder all the time? Yeah.
So the reason I bring this up is you're 100% right. It wouldn't seek to murder in every interaction with people.
Right.
But when we're talking about these fights, right, what's the circumstance of the fight?
Right.
That's where I'm saying, like,
once the fights began, like, well, you signed your lives. Oh, you know, I am going to take you all out to make sure you never come back and never tell anyone else that you were here. So they bring more of you because I know that's how you fuckers work. And yes, mm-hmm. I'm going to murder all of you, scatter your parts throughout the forest, and you will feed the next generation of trees.
Is this a lumberjack who's harvesting the wrong thing? Well, maybe it just backhands him across the forest, leans down in his face and goes, hey, no, not here. Yeah. And then it leaves.
Yeah.
But if you're a party of adventurers, like, the wisdom of the forest is fully fucking aware of wizards.
Yep.
And that's not a thing you trust is just going to go back to town.
Mm-mm.
They don't play nice. They shoot fire.
They will come back with bigger and better spells. But the Treant's never going to leave the forest to go fuck with you in your town.
If you showed up, got into conflict with a Treant, managed to de-escalate and go like, look, you're right, my bad, I'm going.
Yep.
I mean, obviously conditional to it believing you.
But. Sure. But also, I don't think a Treant views everything as nature. Like, even if it's a popular, even if you've clear cut the forest and built your homes, those beings are still of nature. It understands infestations and rot and maybe would look does at you it, as that kind of
so
thing.
Here's the
I
thing.
Believe it does.
I think you're hitting a very reasonable philosophical point for humanity, right?
Right.
I'm not trying to take that away. I'm not saying you're completely wrong. In the world of D&D, you have to kind of contend with the idea of gods of nature.
Sure.
Like, there is a magical line between cities and humanity and technology and nature.
Sure.
The god of nature doesn't govern houses.
Right.
Yes. In the strictly speaking, if you're going to say that a nest is natural, then you kind of have to accept that laptops are natural too.
Right. A garden is not
but
natural.
Sylvanas it's of nature. Yeah. Is not going to be like, well, using my powers over nature, bippity boppity boo, your charger still works.
Right, right. Like, in fact,
that's not
I think
nature.
A god of the wild would be insulted by a garden, perhaps even more so than doing damage to the forest, because to try and contain it and make it ornamental
depends,
and
right?
put it behind a wall.
I do always like the idea of angry gods of nature.
Yeah, me too.
Too many of them are passive.
Yeah, they should be mad, man. They should be furious. You kidding me? The god of the ocean's like, microplastics? All right,
fuck
we're drowning
you.
Them all.
Yeah, like, there are thresholds, of course. Sylvanas is sitting there going, that's weird. The humans are building dams now. They're nowhere near rivers. They're just out in the fucking, like, that's fine. That doesn't bother me any. But somewhere around the stage where you're building castles and leveling forests, there's got to be a threshold of like, no. Hold on, you fucking dickheads.
Once you're clear cutting a forest to just plant other things, I think they're going to get pissed.
You think Sylvanas ever smites a beaver?
No,
just like you're getting too uppity about this. You're taking like you're rerouting a fucking river. You're cutting down too many trees.
No, because a beaver always makes more life. Every time a beaver makes a dam and makes a lake, it creates more life. There's just an explosion of plants
the
and animals around.
The result is
far
less contained than when humanity does it. Like a farm,
and the
is
tree knows enough to know what's going to happen next because it's been around for a couple cycles of beavers and dams. So I don't think so. I think they would look at it and say, "Oh well, I'm going to miss George. Oh look, George has fell, but George is going to a greater purpose."
I do think it'd be really funny if the adventurers are just out there in the woods. They hear the little crack sound start, and then just a lightning strike, and they come by and there's just a fried beaver carcass.
Just a dead beaver.
Sylvanas was just like, no, this one took it too far.
There is a meme of a beaver that didn't get out of the way of its own tree fast enough, and I think that a tree might giggle at that.
I'm not asking about treants. I'm saying like the literal gods of nature.
Right.
Just sitting there going like, hold on. In the same way that the humans have taken this too far, that specific beaver is acting too human.
If you're a tree,
smote.
If you're a tree and you're looking at a beaver, does a beaver murder?
No.
No.
Because it's the same sort of thing where it's the same logic as most animals, right? It's doing it. Well, it's not food strictly, but like it is to serve a purpose, right?
It's housing.
Not coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not coming for you. Frankly, if you're a treant and a beaver like sees you and you walk, the beaver is going to be like, well, okay, not that one, I guess.
Yeah.
You go to bite the fucking treant and the treant is like, hey, and the beaver's like,
oh, sorry.
Okay, sorry.
I'll just waddle over here then.
That was on me.
Yeah.
Fucking, whoops.
All right, so treants. No,
nah.
They don't murder.
They very strong, like, they generally don't, but they won't.
No, exactly.
You could very easily have a situation where a treant, like, could even be, like, the textbook, like, hey, just so we're clear on this, crush one of the party members. So if you have any future questions, please reflect on this moment.
Yeah. Absolutely. Or they could storm Isengard and drown everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, sure, maybe.
Is that a murder, though?
Orcs have souls. Sure, it was a murder.
It's a kill, but like, same sort of thing. War is a different circumstance.
War is a different circumstance.
War
That's
is,
fair.
Strictly speaking, not a murder. And that one was very much a regular-ass war.
That was a war. Yep. Even though it was almost an orc genocide, it was just a war.
I don't know my Tolkien well enough to say this for sure, but weren't orcs actually just like tortured elves?
I think, well, see, now I'm mixing it up with the movie, because in the movie Uruk-hai, they were just born from sacks.
They were born from sacks, but the reason they were in the sacks was they were like tortured elves that were corrupted by...
Oh, I don't know.
Something
possible.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
Listen, listeners, if you're big Tolkien nerds, Aram and I are going to look this up and have the conversation ourselves after the recording. So, like, just don't. We're good. We probably resolved it by now. But
we'll talk about it during our Orcs episode, which is going to be coming up sooner than hopefully. Later.
Yep. Assuming I can schedule everything right. Anyway.
Speaking of which,
that's the murders.
That's it. Those are all the murders. That wraps us up for season four. We're going to have the mailbag episode two. So please send us your mailbag questions. We're writing those now. And get ready for season five, starting with the Rust Monster in September.
Mm-hmm. See you then.
Aram!
Sorry!
Stacy's a little excited this morning. You know how toddlers can be.
Oh god, how much is that gonna cost?
Yeah, this one won't be cheap.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DMs notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
Stacy, you put that cow down right now, young lady. Don't you snarl at me.